Legal book bans. How to ban a book you don't like. Officially, there's freedom of press in the UK, but some books do get banned. But how? And why? Banning books is nothing new in the UK. Rights of Man by Thomas Paine, 1791, was once banned and the author charged with treason for supporting the French Revolution. But later, many of the reforms he proposed were implemented in Britain. Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence, 1928, was once banned for violation of obscenity laws. It is now considered a classic. The Well of Loneliness by Radcliffe Hall, 1928, was also banned in the UK for its lesbian theme. It was republished in 1949. Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov, 1955, was also banned for being obscene. It is also among the classics. During times of war, there's explicit censorship. The idea is to prevent the release of information that might be useful to an enemy. During World War I, letters written by British soldiers were censored. This often consisted of officers going through letters with a black marker pen and crossing out anything which might put lives in danger. During World War II, the catchphrases "loose lips sink ships" and "careless talk costs lives" were used to justify wartime censorship. These days, under the Official Secrets Act, a person who is or has been a member of the Security and Intelligence Services is guilty of an offence if they disclose sensitive information. Spycatcher by Peter Wright, a former MI5 agent, was banned in the UK between 1985 and 1988 for revealing state secrets. Incredibly, it's also possible for rich individuals to ban books. But how? Simple. They take advantage of Britain's unusual libel laws. These laws allow wealthy individuals to sue authors or publishing houses in British courts, even if the book hasn't been published in the UK. As part of these laws, the burden of proof is on the author to prove that any allegations in the book are true. For many publishers or individuals, the threat of a fine or an expensive settlement is too much, and they simply cave in. Many books have been caught out like this. House of Bush, House of Saud, The Secret Relationship Between the World's Two Most Powerful Dynasties, by Craig Unger, casts a critical eye on the three-decade-old relationship between the Bush and Saud families. But it was dropped by its British publisher just weeks before it was scheduled to arrive in stores. Apparently, wealthy interested parties made use of the British legal system and its libel laws to force the publisher to back down. Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld's book, Funding Evil, Updated: How Terrorism is Financed and How to Stop It, suffered a similar fate. The book points the finger at a rich individual as the major source of international terrorist financing. The person in question objected and sued the author for libel. As a result, the book was removed. In another case, a major publishing house withdrew a book from bookshops, pulped unsold copies, issued an apology, and wrote to over 200 libraries telling them to remove the book from their shelves. Many are incensed at the way individuals are able to go about banning books with such impunity. But perhaps we should remember the words of US educator Alfred Whitney Griswold. "Books won't stay banned," he wrote. "They won't burn. Ideas won't go to jail. In the long run of history, the censor and the inquisitor have always lost. The only sure weapon against bad ideas is better ideas."